T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, it's 2 out of 3 today. Yesterday was 1 out of 3. So we're getting there. Lonzo's still out. Greg McKinney, Richmond Weaver here. Patrick Brown in for Lonzo today. Welcome into the Friday Huddle on ESPN Upstate. On the last day of summer, tomorrow is the first day of fall, and it'll be 89 degrees. Welcome to fall. I don't know. Maybe we'll feel like fall a little bit later. Also, wanted to mention, it was a week ago that Hurricane Florence hit the coast of North Carolina and affected South Carolina as well. And 1 week later, still major issues. Don't think this thing is over, folks. I saw this news breaking today. A Duke Energy dam in North Carolina was breached today. They believe that coal ash is flowing into the Cape Fear River. That can't be good. That cannot be good. It's a Sutton Lake, and it's at the LV Sutton Power Station. You don't want a dam breach at a power station. You just don't. And I also saw that in Florence County, South Carolina, they have imposed mandatory evacuation of some residents. There's a list of roads here. It's like 3 dozen roads here or more. It's like 40 roads. Homes along 40 roads in Florence County being evacuated today because of flooding, because the river's rising, because everything flowing downstream from the rain that we received. And they have opened 4 shelters in Florence County today. So if you have friends and relatives in the PD of South Carolina and eastern North Carolina, certainly want to try to check on them, see if you can help them, because here 1 week later, it is still not going well for many residents in the Carolinas.
Blown away that this thing is still wreaking havoc.
Yeah. Well, they told us it would, that it takes a while for the rivers to hit flood stage, and they are doing that right now in many areas. So it's still a serious situation.
Yeah, and when you're up here in the upstate and it's 90 degrees, basically, I mean, you're oblivious to the issues that all those other people are having. It's crazy.
We missed the problems here. We were lucky, but certainly some of our fellow Carolinians were not. So please keep them in mind and help out in any way that you can. Coming up on the show today, lots of football. We will hear from Brent Venables, defensive coordinator for the Clemson Tigers, ahead of the Georgia Tech game tomorrow. We have some breaking news on an injury to the Clemson defense that we'll pass along for you here in the second segment. That word just happening this morning. Clemson's going to be without a starter. We'll tell you about that coming up. Bob Costello with the Greenville News joins us at 2:04. Preview high school football tonight. Good games in the upstate, including our game, Gaffney at Burns at 7 o'clock. 7:30 kickoff, 7 o'clock airtime here on ESPN Upstate. 3 questions at 3. We'll hear from Rico Dowdle, Gamecock running back. Gamecocks and Vandy tomorrow in Nashville. That's a 3:30 start? No, Clemson's 3:30. Gamecocks are 4.
That's right.
Okay.
That is correct.
Almost the same time. Hear from Conor McGregor about his next fight. Conor McGregor talking is always funny. So we'll have that for you coming up.
He's just continuing to be in a position. He's getting paid.
He's getting paid.
That's what this is all about.
He's certainly doing that.
Yeah, we knew this was going to happen.
He is selling that fight very well.
And good.
The sponsors.
It's pretty good. No kidding. NFL this weekend, and we'll have Adam Schefter talk about some of the major injuries that will be affecting play this weekend. Rich take on sports. Who you got today?
Stuart Sink.
All right. Good.
Yeah. 22-year PGA Tour veteran and also 2009 Open Championship champion. Mm-hmm. And it's a great conversation. Got to actually do that in person with him several weeks ago. And also we're going to be sharing part of the conversation. It's an unbelievable story about how he almost didn't make it to the playoff hole, the first playoff hole with Tom Watson. You don't want to miss this story. It's phenomenal.
All right. And we'll check on the golf in Atlanta, too, see how Tiger and others are doing down there. Keep you up to date on that as well. And the Braves won. Magic number 4 4.
Here we go.
They're just taking it easy now. They're cruising in. They're not making those
And
nervous.
You're still not believing.
No, that's not true. Come on now. I mean, believe what? Believe they're going to...
They're going to win the NL East.
Of course.
Yes.
Of course they're going to win the NL East. But beyond that, it doesn't matter. I mean, this is just... Everything else is gravy. They're going to win this division. And they got to win over Philly last night. They play them again tonight. 6.5 games up. Magic number is 4.
And I still will question now, going back to my whole theory about when do expectations change for fans based on the season. You start winning. Obviously, nobody expected the Braves to be in this position that they're going to win the NL East.
Mm-hmm.
Now that they, you know, were in potential to win the East, would the fans been extremely disappointed if they would have fallen apart and not win the East? And then now, say they do win the East, is it going to be a situation where, what if they get swept in the first round of the playoffs?
You got to be okay with it.
Exactly. That's my point. But I still contend to the theory that fans change their expectations drastically mm-hmm. based on how things are going in the season. And I could see them being very frustrated, very disappointed if they lose. But you can't be.
I think the frustration might come if they don't do well next year because they did so well this year. So the expectations will go up. You know,
of
I
course.
Think fans are, I'm speaking for all fans now.
Yes, you are.
Y'all are okay with that, right?
I am, yes. You're an authority on fans.
You know, fans are going to be okay this year no matter what happens in the postseason. But next year, they're going to want the Braves not just to win the East, but to make some noise in the postseason, right?
I would suspect
that's what
so.
They're wanting to take another step.
Because this is continuing that evolution of expectations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, winning begets winning, and you better continue to win, especially from the fan side of things. And
yep.
I get it. I mean, I'm a fan as well, but I have to caution myself as well to temper the expectations at times.
It's going to make the postseason fun, though, to have the Braves in there.
Yes.
You got to like that, however long they may last. All right, 844-477-3776 is our number, the Health Dare text line, 71307. Start your text with ESPN. We're on Twitter, at ESPN Upstate. Oh, how far we have come. Thursday night football, Cleveland and the Jets. You looked at that on your preseason schedule and said, okay, thanks. And it was great. It was outstanding. Because of Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield comes in for Tyrod Taylor and leads the Cleveland Browns to a 21-17 come-from-behind victory last night. Everybody a couple of weeks ago was talking about Sam Darnold, and now he's... the GOAT, not in a good way. He's blaming himself for a sputtering second-half offense. He says he has to play better. He completed 15 of 31 passes for 169 yards, and he threw 2 interceptions in the final minute and a half of the game. So, yeah, that's not the way you want to end it. And Baker Mayfield was the hero, leading the Cleveland Browns down the field for a couple scores that allowed them to come back and win 21-17 last night. And Cleveland is going nuts. Here's Baker Mayfield in his post-game interview.
All right, Baker, right now you're taking this all in. I see you're looking around. What does this feel like?
This city deserves it. It's a good win. You know, we've been scrapping and clawing at the end of some of these games, our first two. You know, we finally kind of put the pieces together. Ran the ball well, and I got the ball in our playmaker's hands, you know. That's never how I want to be able to play. I love Ty. He's one of our captains. So much respect for him. That's never the way I want to get in, but that's the mentality we need to have. Next man up, got to be able to do our job.
With all due respect, you're a great teammate, but you went out here as a rookie quarterback and led your team to victory. The first time this Cleveland Browns organization has won in 684 days. What is this moment like for you?
You know, the past is the past. We brought in new guys. This is a new team. You got to hit the reset button, and that's the kind of thing we want to have. You know, this win, it's a great win to have. It's the first win of the season, but this isn't what we're working for. We're working for, you know, the rest of the season. Building on this one, you know, it'll be good looking down on it.
You got your first touchdown as a Cleveland Brown. Take me through it.
It's a great feeling. Anytime you score out here in front of these fans, it's a loyal crowd. You know, they haven't had a lot to root for as of lately, but it is an unbelievable feeling here.
What's that play called?
Not giving that one up.
Oh, some say it was Philly, but is it the Cleveland's
own? Yeah, it's Cleveland.
Thanks.
Not giving up the name of the Philly special that they did in Cleveland last night with Baker Mayfield getting a touchdown reception. But that was pretty cool. Pretty cool. Just a great performance by Mayfield. 17 to 23. 201 yards. No interceptions. And he comes in for Tyrod Taylor, who goes out hurt. And Tyrod Taylor threw 14 passes for 19 yards. I mean, he completed four, but he, you know, 14 attempts, 19 yards. That's kind of historically awful right there.
Well, it's just dinking, that dink and dunk type of passing. That's, and I'm very familiar with that as a Cowboys fan because I think at times that's what Dak Prescott does, dink and dunk, right?
Yeah.
But the key for Baker Mayfield was the turnover category or the turnover column. He didn't have any.
Mm-mm.
And that's, you know, that's what was able to propel the Browns to get their first victory in 680-plus days or whatever. And I think it was a good performance by Baker Mayfield, especially coming in the way he did. But now it's going to – we'll see what happens in terms of how he's going to respond, because now teams are going to get film on him. And the Browns, they can't go back to Tyrod Taylor now.
No, he's done.
He's done, right? So, I mean, this it's Baker Mayfield's team now, and now – we'll see what happens. Just like we saw with Sam Darnold, first game had the bad start with the pick six, obviously, but rebounded really well that game. Now some other teams have got some film on him, and they know how to defend him to a certain degree, and he ended up being a rookie the last few minutes of the game on the road, which I think that's what you kind of expect from a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, I agree. Look, Baker Mayfield is, I think, ready. Now, he's not going to have game like that every time out. But,
no, he's not.
But he gives you more than Taylor does. And you know, look, everybody looked back at the college career and just said, yeah, all that was against Big 12 defenses and all that stuff. I don't care. He is pretty good. And you know, he's ready to go. I think they've got to stick with Baker Mayfield and
they
see
do.
What he can do.
That's right. And that's what, you know, for me, I look at Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, I categorize him as a project. As a quarterback, I just don't think he's going to be a quarterback in the NFL. Where Baker Mayfield, he's a prospect. He could play quarterback in the NFL and have a successful career. I just don't think he's going to be good enough to win out over the dysfunction of Cleveland altogether. Mm-hmm. Because the organization is so dysfunctional, I think it's going to take somebody even more talented than just him. Now, if he gets so many pieces around him, that could be a different story, but I think it's a ways away. But I've been saying all along, you should be playing Baker Mayfield from day one.
Sure.
Number one pick, Cleveland, what do you have to lose?
Yeah.
You know, Hugh Jackson, I understand you're wanting to win to try to save your job, but I mean, the general manager didn't hire you anyway, so the chances of you even keeping your job are relatively slim anyway.
This is kind of cool for Cleveland, too, because they needed a little boost after losing LeBron. So, you know,
exactly.
They got it now. Got a new hero.
They did. And Baker's it. And I get it. Why not? And so, yeah, I mean, you have to ride his tail now in terms of excitement, right?
Yeah.
Or his wings, I should say.
Yeah. Got to go with it. So it's an exciting game for a Thursday night football. Thursday night game where we've had some really bad football.
I think the best part of that audio clip was in the background when they played DJ Khaled, All I Do Is Win, and you heard the fans' like emotions come out of that.
Oh yeah, they were still there. They were ready to keep going.
Now, see,
they?
That's the thing. Like, I know that feeling because after Detroit won their first game after going 0-16, I listened to every hype song possible to get me like to feel the mood I was feeling the whole week. They're going to carry this on until Sunday.
Of course. Yeah. Why wouldn't they?
If they don't party until the next game that they play, Cleveland's doing this wrong.
Agree. It was impressive and fun. I mean, it made Thursday Night Football fun again last night. 21-17, Cleveland beats the Jets. Jimmy, let's talk about Baker Mayfield. Let's get him in here. Hi, Jimmy.
Hey, guys. As you know, I'm not an Oklahoma fan, and I'm not a fan of Baker Mayfield, but you got to be impressed with what he did last night. The legend of Baker Mayfield has been born, and I disagree. I think Cleveland can win. I'm going to ask y'all over or under 8 games this season, and the reason I think they can at least win 8 is because their defense is really good. They tied Pittsburgh. The other game that they, the one game that they lost was a tough game. So they're very competitive. And now that Baker Mayfield is in there, and he took him to a field goal right away.
Yeah.
I mean, he threw some nice passes to get him to the field goal right before halftime. And then he took his team to victory in, what, one win in the last two seasons? And how many wins in the last five seasons?
I don't know that number, but it's not a whole lot. That's
not a whole lot. So, they better keep Baker Mayfield in there. They shouldn't take him out. I think they should roll with it. And so y'all guys have a good day and go Braves.
Appreciate that. Thank you, Jimmy. And we're gonna defer on your question because it's one of our three questions. How many
perfect timing?
Wins for Cleveland now? People were saying, "Hey, look, they might win three or four games." You know, after last night, want to adjust that a little bit? We'll talk about that.
You know, it's crazy. They're 1-1-1.
Yep.
But in all reality, if they had a field goal kicker,
why not?
They're 3-0.
Yeah, very close 3-0 to 3-0
against two good teams with the Steelers and the Saints. Now, I think the Steelers are. I think they're in trouble. I think their defense is just Swiss cheese right now, and Tomlin's got some work to do to get them back in line. But, yeah, they could be sitting at 3-0.
Up next for Cleveland at the Raiders next weekend, and then the Ravens, Chargers, and Tampa Bay. So, it's kind of a medium schedule there. I think there are some winnable games in there and some tougher games.
Can you imagine if the Browns beat the Raiders?
Yeah, people go crazy.
With John Gruden?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very possible.
Still being winless?
Yeah.
It is possible.
Games in Oakland, but still very possible. Delvin's on the line. Let's get him in. Delvin, welcome into the huddle.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing? First of all, I think the Clemson was a close game, and I think Sacramento is going to be Vanderbilt. And I don't think it's going to be, I say, like 10 points or something like that. But as far as Baker Mayfield, I'll give you the last call. You got to keep in there because the spirit was out in the whole stadium because of how the way the offense was playing. And then as soon as he stood on the field, the whole stadium got excited. The energy lifted up on the field and started there. He brought the same to the team. You saw how the offense was moving. So was moving. So when he got in there, I mean, he was throwing the ball and they were catching. Well, they were catching some of them. They dropped from on through and they threw right in their hand. But the offense just moved so nicely up and down the field with him. When he was in there, when Tyrod Taylor was in there, they were struggling.
No, that's right. Absolutely. All right. Appreciate it, Delvin. Yeah, and they got some running, too, from Carlos Hyde. He helped a lot. 98 yards, couple touchdowns for Hyde in the game. I think that was big, too. Jarvis Landry was big for the Browns receiving. They kind of put together a respectable game there, and the Jets looked like the old Jets.
Do you feel they're more confident now that Josh Gordon isn't there?
Maybe it helps. Maybe it helps.
The distraction's not there right now?
Right, right.
Addition by subtraction. I've always believed in that.
Because this is the first game without Josh Gordon on the roster.
Yeah, but they still had an opportunity to win both of those games against Pittsburgh and the Saints.
Yeah.
But this is the first game that they clutched it, that they secured that win.
And in all reality, they were down 14-0. So it looked like, the Jets were playing well. Sam Darnold was playing well. And then the Jets' defense just got gassed there in the second half.
On the ESPN, in the fourth quarter. ESPN tracker, the win track projection, at halftime it was 90 or 92% for the Jets to win.
Yeah,
I believe
at
it.
Half.
And yet lots of people, including Mike Greenberg, a very beleaguered Jets fan, I saw him tweeting, says, I knew even when it was 14-0,
they were not going to be able to hold it, right?
The Jets were going to lose this game. Yeah. It's kind of a tough time for the Jets. And by the way, Isaiah Crowell, get out. Get out. Get out with your little wiping celebration, man. That's just disgusting. I am so irritated by that guy. I mean, was it just because it's Cleveland fans? You saw it, right?
I did.
Awful.
Yes.
Get out. I hope they fine him $1 million. I know they won't. But they'll fine him.
Suspend him 8 games.
Like
the broadcast reporter. Suspend him 8 games.
Yeah, they suspended, you were here yesterday, suspended a sideline reporter for the Browns for 8 games for yelling at an official, a radio reporter. What's Crowell going to get for what he did last night? It won't be that much.
And now they're 1-0.
It definitely won't be that much.
And now they're 1-0 with him not on the sidelines.
Mm. Unbelievable. Yeah, he was bad.
They might keep him suspended now.
He's gone for good. Back in a moment, 844-477-3776. We will get to Brent Venables, the defensive coordinator for the Clemson Tigers, and talking about, you know, trying to stop that Georgia Tech option and news on Clemson being down one starter on defense. We'll tell you about that coming up. Stay with us in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. We're back. The huddle, ESPN Upstate. It's Greg McKinney, Richmond Weaver, Patrick Brown. We're here till 4 o'clock this afternoon. Join the conversation by calling us at 844-477-3776. HealthDare text line 71307. All right, Richmond, you're telling me you're nervous about Georgia Tech tomorrow. Nervous yes. about this game.
Well, I mean, anytime you're on the road and it's a game where Georgia Tech seems to give you fits just because of Paul Johnson, and I think Paul Johnson is a good coach. I know he rubs people, a lot of people, the wrong way, and I get it. He's his kind of, I don't know, his bravado. He just seems better than a lot of people, and right? I know the Georgia Tech fans probably don't believe that, but I'm saying it as an outsider looking into the Georgia Tech football team. But I do think that Georgia Tech is just quirky, and for whatever reason, there's always been a history of close games between Georgia Tech and Clemson. I know the past couple of years,
yeah, not so much last.
It hasn't seemed that way, but that's what gives me a little bit of angst, just in terms of, all right, we seem to have figured out some things with Georgia Tech's offense, and a lot of that has to do with the players on the field because the talent level, mm-hmm. you know, and that can help a lot even from the X and O standpoint. But I think there is just something that at Georgia Tech seems to be a little quirky at times. And so I think Clemson will win, but I don't think it's going to be a 20-point victory. I think it's going to probably be more like 10 to 14-point victory. And in all reality, that's okay.
Yeah, and
it's a
W. 10 to 14 points.
Exactly.
I thought you were worried about a one-score game or something.
Hey, and it could be that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could be in a situation where Clemson has to hold off Tech right there at the end or score very late. And from my perspective, I don't care if it's 77 to 76 or 6 to 3. Yes, it doesn't matter. That's right.
Can't be 1 to nothing, but 2 to nothing.
2 to nothing, yeah. I'm good with it. Or 3 to 2, whatever the score is, as long as we have more points than Georgia Tech, I'm good.
This is not going to make you feel better, then. I know you've heard about it.
Yes, I have.
Kendall Joseph out for the game.
There you go.
Starting weak side linebacker. One of the leaders on that Clemson defense has a groin injury. Happened in practice this week. Is not even making the trip to Atlanta for Georgia Tech tomorrow afternoon at 3:30. That's been reported by various media outlets, the state newspaper, TigerNet, and others. Dabo Sweeney apparently has confirmed it. We haven't seen a release from Clemson on this yet, but he's out. Kendall Joseph has started all three games, of course. 139 total snaps he's been out there. 11 tackles, one sack, a pass breakup, a quarterback pressure. So at that level, you know, with this option that Georgia Tech's going to run, where, you know, you've got to have veterans who know how to deal with it, and Kendall Joseph is certainly one of those guys that you expect to come up and know where to be, fit where he needs to fit, as coaches like to say.
Disciplined football, stay in your lane, and you've got to you can't get out of your role.
Yeah. And so up next on the depth chart is J.D. Davis, graduate linebacker. He has 11 tackles. He's played 74 snaps this season. After him is Shaq Smith. Shaq Smith, a really highly recruited and touted guy, five-star guy.
That's
and
right.
Just, you know, we haven't seen a lot yet.
I haven't. I think it's one of those situations where people have questioned, is he living up to expectations as far as being this five-star guy? I just think part of it is that it's much harder than some of these guys think to make that transition.
Yeah. So he'll get more snaps, I guess, tomorrow. He's a redshirt sophomore. So J.D. Davis and Shaq Smith have to play and play well for Clemson tomorrow.
Yes, they do.
Brent Venables talking about the success that he has had, especially recently, defending this Georgia Tech offense. Here's some of what Venables had to say this week.
I think it's execution. You know, I think our players have done a good job of understanding the plan and executing. It's not like we're not playing disciplined football. Are we faster than some people they might see? Maybe. But if the fast guy's not going in the right place, if he's not squeezing and closing, if he's not playing the dive when he's supposed to, and just go down the list of, you know, all the responsibilities that everybody has on any particular play, if they're not doing the little things right, then they'll expose you. It's not like you're overcoming a bunch of mistakes because you've got superior athletes. They make a lot of superior athletic teams look like fools and have through you know, for a long time. So, again, it's still, you know, being very detailed and precise, physical, violent, disruptive, all those things. And you got to be able to do it for four quarters. And that's how they lull people to sleep. You know, they're getting tired of playing those, you know, cut blocks and scoop blocks and crack blocks and things of that nature. And they start, you know, losing their intensity for precision. And that's when they get exposed. So it's going to take, again, an incredible effort from our guys, everybody. You know, obviously the guys up front, you know, we got to make it, you know, tough for them to handle interior-wise, inside out.
Yeah, the spread on this game, 16.5. So more than two touchdowns in favor of the Tigers. But then you have guys like Dan Wolken, the columnist for USA Today, who really loves saying controversial things. Dan is one of those guys. He's going to say something every week, right?
He's trying to get somebody to react, right?
Yeah. He says Clemson is not a top five team. He says Clemson has looked dodgy. What's dodgy mean? Dodgy.
Dodgy?
Dodgy. Yeah. So yeah, not just, so good.
Yeah, just barely getting by, just escaping.
Yeah.
Not performing to expectations.
He points to the A&M second half, of course, which, you know, brought the game down to the wire. And then he even says against Georgia Southern last week, they should have been able to put the game away, and it was 24-7 in the fourth quarter. They had not wrapped it up. I had to keep starters in. Ended up being 38-7, of course. He says Clemson has to go to Georgia Tech this weekend. That's been a tricky game. They've had trouble there in the past. I think they win, he says, but I want to see more for Clemson. Right now they are good against the run, not great against the pass, allowing too many third down conversions, trying to find an identity behind one of the two quarterbacks. Doesn't look like they have clicked yet. They're very good. Maybe they'll be there at the end, but right now he says they're not a top five team. So, you know, Dabo wants to put that up on the bulletin board. He can certainly do that.
Yeah, and what Dan is saying is not too outrageous in all reality in terms of what I felt has been one of the things we've talked about it a little bit here previously. For Clemson to be at that elite level like in Alabama, and I do put Alabama at a different level just because of the consistency of how they win, it's you've got to be able to put teams away. And Texas A&M, they should have been able to put Texas A&M away. I know it's on the road, but that's one of those things where to get to that other level, I mean, we're seeing Alabama put teams away, and not even, especially now with Tua at quarterback.
Yep.
And so can Clemson put these teams away? But at the end of the day, I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth because I don't care. Just give me a W. That's it. Survive in advance. That's what each one of these games are in all reality. It's the NCAA tournament, the Jim Valvano speech, survive and advance.
Yep. So the two-point win over Texas A&M was, in fact, a win. And whatever it may be, if it's a close game against Georgia Tech, it's all about winning. Can the Tigers do that? Your thoughts on that? How does Clemson perform on the road tomorrow? Keep in mind now that Kendall Joseph is out, that's a little bit of a blow to the Clemson linebacker core, certainly.
It is.
So what difference will that make? If you have some thoughts, you can give us a call at 844-477-3776. The Health Dare text line is 71307. All right, we'll break and come back with more here. It's the Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Stay with us. Welcome back. Greg McKinney, Richmond Weaver, Patrick Brown, the Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Bob Costello with the Greenville News joins us right after the 2 o'clock break. Talk about tonight's high school football action. So join us for that. We'll preview some of the games in the area tonight. We have Gaffney at Burns. That's one of the big ones. Maybe the biggest one statewide because in the statewide broadcasters poll this week, Burns is number 9. Gaffney is number 3. And we'll have it for you here on ESPN Upstate. 7 o'clock airtime. The kickoff, 7:30 over at Nixon Field. Expecting a big crowd over there tonight. And gates open, I think, at 5:30, so you can come early. And hoping you'll make some noise. I imagine the Gaffney folks will bring some fans over to Nixon tonight as well, because they're off to a very good start at 4-0. Burns comes in at 3-1. Looking forward to bringing you that one tonight. Checking out the Golf Tour Championship, East Lake Golf Club in Atlanta. You just came back from Atlanta. Did you go by and watch some golf yesterday? No.
That would have been fun.
That would have been fun.
Yes.
Have you been to East Lake Golf Club?
I have been there before.
Is that nice?
Very nice. And I've actually been fortunate enough to play there.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah? Did you shoot a 65 like Tiger did?
That was on the front nine.
Okay. Tiger Woods and Ricky Fowler tied for the lead at the Tour Championship at East Lake Golf Club. Both with 65s yesterday. They both tee off in about 17 minutes at 2 o'clock this afternoon. They have a one-shot lead over three golfers, John Rahm, Gary Woodland, and Justin Rose. Those three guys are at 4 under par. Tony Finau, Rory McIlroy, and Justin Thomas at 3 under par. Great thing about this tournament is, man, you've got some names because this is the top 30 guys.
This is it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a spectator, this is where you want to be.
Yeah.
To see the top names in golf. But I would suspect that a lot of casual fans, there's guys here in the top 30 that you wouldn't have had anticipated that they would be in the top 30. You wouldn't know their name.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't see anybody like that for me personally, other than maybe, I don't know much about Aaron Wise. He's in there. But all the rest of these guys, pretty familiar names. And by the way, Phil Mickelson is no longer in last place. Patrick and I discussed this yesterday about how poorly Phil was playing. Not that he's playing well. He had a 73 yesterday. Yeah, that's not terrible. But Keegan Bradley is at +7 because he's out on the course today. And while he had a 73 yesterday, he's +4 today. So Keegan Bradley is bringing up the number 30 position right now.
I think there's a lot of guys, though, that they would be, hey, I'll take number 30.
Yeah, with this group.
In this tournament, right?
No, no doubt.
Exactly. I'm like, I'm good with that. Especially Jordan Spieth sitting there. He was number 31.
you mean I finished 30th and I still got over 100,000? I think I'm okay.
Yeah, probably would be. Just looking at a couple of other scores today, interesting scores today. Dustin Johnson's at -1. He's even par today. Jason Day also at -1. Bubba Watson's at even par. Tommy Fleetwood +1. Patrick Reed +2. Koepka's now at +2, so he has faded back. He was up there near the top for a while yesterday, but he's dropped some positions. And so how do they play this? They won't do a cut at all. They'll just play.
Yeah, they
just
keep playing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's now, if somebody else out there knows, but I'm 99.999%.
Yeah. No,
they just all keep playing.
Yeah, they keep playing because this is the last tournament for the FedEx Cup.
That's right. Yeah. Yes.
All right. So some really good golfers and some pretty good scores right now. But Tiger is right there.
Yeah.
And he will tee off at 2 o'clock.
And Tiger has a chance to win the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
If he can win the tournament and some other things fall as far as where other guys place, mathematically, he could win for the whole season.
Right now, I think it's like he has to have 7 different things go right for him, and 6 of them are active.
Yeah, I think Justin Rose, being where he is the one that's not in
Tiger's
favor.
He has to be top
15.
Wow.
He has to be, 16th or less. And I think right now he's on the cusp of being that, but not. Mm-hmm. I looked at the stat, and I was like, okay, so basically if Tiger wins the FedEx Cup, everything has to go right for him.
Of course.
If he wins the tournament, no one's going to care about who won the FedEx Cup. No one.
I don't think so either. I agree with you. Everybody's going to be talking about that he won the tournament.
It's going to be like, Tiger wins this tournament. By the way, so-and-so won the FedEx Cup. But that's not the important story here. Tiger won a tournament.
That's Tiger's right. The story. Tiger's always the
story.
Well,
and especially as we're getting ready to head into the Ryder Cup. There was not controversy, but there is questions. Should Tiger
should
be selected?
Yeah.
Well, I think we know.
Yeah, he should be there.
Yeah, he's getting selected.
Yeah. All right.
I said he wasn't. Changed my mind. He is going to be.
Oh, yeah. He's there. 844-477-3776 is our number here. And the Huddle, the Health Dare text line, 71307. Back in a moment, the Huddle on ESPN Upstate. Well, if you're ready for some more Conor McGregor, you're in luck. He's back. Conor has signed a new 6-fight deal with UFC, according to Dana White. Terms not disclosed, but White said the deal could make Conor McGregor the most money ever in the sports, especially given his pay-per-view appeal. Six fights include the Khabib UFC 229 fight coming up in, what, a couple weeks? October 6th. And Conor's out promoting that in the way that only Conor can. Here's some of Conor McGregor from yesterday.
I do not fight for the prize. I did not begin fighting for the prize. I began to fight because I loved it. That's why I'm here now, because I love this game. I don't have to be here. I am set for life. Even without this, I'm set for life. From the last match, I'm set for life.
Okay, what are you doing here?
I'm sorted now.
What are you doing
here? I'm here to
why you
enjoy
here?
This.
Why you come here?
Because I'm
going to love. But 6 October, what are you going to do?
This is not
stomping on
this
your
is
head.
Not about
and
whiskey.
If you pull out a fight,
six
I'm going to love what
I'm
going to
mow
you.
You know this. If you pull out I'm going to love what happens
you know
to you,
this.
Your
October,
family,
I'm gonna
and your team
you know
even
this.
More on your own soil. I'm going to love that even more.
Conor, I'm going to maul you. I'm going to maul you. That's what he said. All right. The pay-per-view buys for UFC 229 with McGregor and Khabib trending toward $2.5 million now. The record for a UFC event is 1.6 million buys. That was for McGregor's rematch with Nate Diaz at UFC 202. The deal includes McGregor's new whiskey, Proper Whiskey, as a sponsor for every UFC event in which Conor McGregor fights. He was asked if his logo would have a presence in the octagon. He says, yes, you bet your bollocks. And he said, it'll be on the canvas, just like his opponent's blood will be on the canvas. The logo and the blood on the canvas. This is UFC 229 marking McGregor's return to the octagon after almost 2 years. His last fight was a second-round TKO against Eddie Alvarez, November 2016. So, yeah, it's almost 2 years ago. In May, UFC agreed to a 5-year deal that will bring Mixed Martial Arts League's entire rights package to ESPN beginning in 2019. So, that won't hurt as well. You guys got your purchase in yet?
No.
How much is this one, Patrick? Do you know?
It's going to be like 55 again. 55 or 60.
Bucks. All right. All right.
Worth I'm excited it. For this.
Yeah. Is it going to be a real fight?
I honestly think McGregor is going to
kill him?
Win in the first round.
Yeah. So why are you excited?
Because McGregor's back.
It'll be
back.
Over. $55 done. Yeah. Gone.
McGregor's back.
Okay.
I'm excited to see. Like, the thing is McGregor. This may be a bold statement for me saying this, but McGregor is the UFC's Mike Tyson in the sense of when he fights, people talk.
And you want it to be quick.
And people want to watch it. It doesn't matter how quick, how long, or anything like that. Mm-hmm. I actually prefer seeing the McGregor fight for more than 2 rounds because I can see what he does, how
yeah.
he preps
I mean,
and everything like that.
You're not seeing anything if it's in 30 seconds. What are you seeing? Right? It's like that Sphinx Tyson fight
yeah.
that I went to, and then it was 90s, early 90s, I went to that thing.
Oh, you were there live?
I was not at the fight. I was at the auditorium watching
oh,
it
you
on,
were. Okay.
on the closed circuit deal. Back in those days, you couldn't get it on your home TV. You had to go out somewhere to watch it on TV. I didn't pay for it. I got free tickets on that. But that was, what was it? It was a minute and a half, maybe? Maybe?
That's right. Like a minute and 27
yeah.
seconds?
Yeah.
I mean, it was so staged. We knew that things... took a fall. Get, let me take
scared.
A hit. Yes,
you can see the fear in his eyes, man. He was scared. So, yeah, I agree. You want to see a little more. If you want to see some action, you want to see what he's got. You want to see if he still has it. What's the two-year layoff? If he comes out and wins in 30 seconds, you know.
I mean, it's not like he's not been training in those 2 years. I mean, yeah, mm-hmm. he had a fight against Mayweather,
right.
which is boxing, which
right.
actually helped is going to help his striking. But ever since then, he's been doing all the things that he would do to prepare for a UFC fight. He's been back in the gym, back in doing jiu-jitsu, back wrestling, back grappling, and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't we have a point, though, that as Conor McGregor's being announced by Dana White, that this big six-fight deal, I thought after that whole debacle with the bus, and I thought Dana White was, oh, Conor McGregor's
no,
done.
No.
He knows where the cash is.
Exactly. We said it right after that that – there's no way that Conor McGregor is not coming back.
No, Dana's really, really, really mad at him.
Very mad.
Not only is he coming back, he has a sponsor.
Yeah.
He's got a sponsorship now.
Yeah. Yeah, what about
that? He's got
that?
His own whiskey.
They're going to put the logo out there in the octagon? That's
sounds
part
like
of the
it.
Deal, right?
I'm more surprised he's not going to carry a bottle to the actual ring, like the octagon. His walkout theme, he's just going to be pouring people drinks as he's walking to the octagon.
Hey, I'm not laughing because that could be reality.
Oh, yeah. Nothing would be surprising with Conor McGregor. But he makes it fun, right?
He does. That's no, what you I would agree. Entertaining, but I still just cannot. I just don't like paying for these events.
You can go over to Lonzo's or to Patrick's and watch.
I guess so. I just...
I got a new apartment. It's nice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fantastic.
Okay, well, I'll party over there.
All right, well, let's make sure we broadcast the address.
The only thing about that is it's after my...
First of all, I'm in like a nice secluded area, which has a lot of security in it, which I'm surprised an apartment complex has that much security.
It's after my bedtime. I can't make it.
Of course.
This thing won't start till like 12:30.
It's okay. We'll text you.
Agreed.
We'll text you.
Give me updates.
Exactly.
844-477-3776. The text line here, Health Dare text line, 71307. Got to get to high school football. Bob Costello with the Greenville News joins us coming up next. Rich Take on Sports with Stuart Sink coming up in the next hour. Adam Schefter on the NFL injury list going into this weekend is coming up as well. All ahead in the huddle on ESPN Upstate, Greg McKinney, Richmond Weaver, and Patrick Brown on the Friday before fall arrives tomorrow. Tomorrow's the first day of fall, so enjoy the last day of summer. Back in a moment in the huddle on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.